Welcome, everybody. We're talking Super Bowl 49 and tight end tiers as we enter 2015. It's Tuesday, February 3rd, and we've had a couple of days to marinate over the ending of that game. Dave and Jamie, what'd you think?
Over the ending or over the game?
Whatever you want. Let's start with the ending. Start with the end.
The ending was
memento
stupid.
This. Yeah.
It was stupid, but honestly, I don't know how Seattle fans could complain after Jermaine Kearse had that circus catch.
Because it wasn't like that was on fourth down. It would have been, what, third and 10 if that was incomplete, I think?
I actually think it would have been fourth and 10,
would
but
have been
I'm
fourth
not
and
certain.
10?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think it would have been third and 10.
A guy threw himself through a television. I mean, of course they're going to complain.
Someone threw themselves through a television?
How do you throw somebody,
throw
yourself through a television?
They dove through a television.
A guy dove into his television?
Yes.
Is that what you're telling me?
The video on CBSSports.com.
Like, that happens in cartoons all the time.
he dove into the TV, broke the screen, and then destroyed his television.
Why would
you
do that to a perfectly good television?
Maybe he wanted a new one. There really was an explanation to it.
You could sell your old one.
I don't know how I would have reacted if I were a Seahawks fan. I wouldn't have done that. I think I would have been more stunned than anything. And then I would have been furious.
You're typically on the other end of these things.
I know. Well, that's what, you know, only one team can beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Let's be honest here. But,
yeah.
It was a great game.
It was a great game. I think it's going to go down as a top five game all time.
And of course, Chris Matthews is, fantasy relevant?
Yeah, I mean, I was getting tweets during the game. I don't know about you, James.
Sure, I still am.
Yeah, what do you think about this Chris Matthews kid? You know, I knew about him from the CFL because I knew he had a good time there, and someone tipped me off to him during the preseason, but he didn't do anything during the regular season and was a long shot to, you know, be an impact player early on. So it wasn't really worth tracking, but it just goes to show you that Russell Wilson could add that dimension to his game if he had better receivers. And I would make a big bet that Seattle improves their passing game this offseason. That'll help Russell Wilson.
They have to.
But we said that last year, and they didn't.
Well, they had Percy Harvin. They probably thought they were going to have.
Yeah, but I think they still needed somebody on the outside. And they probably thought so. Listen, they drafted Paul Richardson. They drafted two wide receivers. So they obviously addressed it. But Richardson towards ACL, who knows if he's going to be ready for the start of the year. Maybe Matthews continues to make an impression and gets a chance to start. I'd love to see him add a little muscle, but I mean, the dude is tall and he could be a real problem for, you know, the typical 5'10" defensive back that's out there. But I think we'll see something from Seattle, and it'll help Russell Wilson quite a bit.
Well, as far as Matthews goes, I took an informal poll on Twitter. I asked people, on a scale of 0 to 10, how excited are you about drafting Chris Matthews next year? And I would say the average was about a 2. I don't know if I got anything higher than a 5. And most people were like, maybe in a super deep league. So there's very tempered enthusiasm there. I just want to remind everyone, if you want to email us, now's a good time. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com is the email address. But please put football podcast in the subject line. It's FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. And later on, we'll talk tight ends. We'll talk about the Browns situation with Manziel going to rehab and Josh Gordon facing suspension. Atlanta hired Seattle defensive coordinator Dan Quinn as their head coach, so we'll get to that. But I just wanted to talk about these two teams maybe going into next year. If you want to talk about the passing game, or maybe, well, we'll talk about Lynch in a second because we have an email from John in Rochester about Marshawn Lynch. But anything else that you want to touch on with the Patriots and the Seahawks?
Well, I think when you look at the Patriots, you kind of know what you're getting from their passing game at this point. I mean, Brady's a top five quarterback. Edelman, I think, should be a top 20 receiver. Gronk is the best tight end in the NFL. And then LaFell's kind of a guy I think that you'll settle for on draft day and be okay with, you know, using him as a spot starter. We'll see what they do with Dobson and Boyce and some of their other young receivers, if they can ever get them on the field. But you kind of know what you're dealing with those guys. It's the running game, you know, because Vereen and Ridley are free agents, and LeGarrette Blount's a guy that clearly Bill Belichick likes and can be that big back type guy for them. I'd like to see them bring back Vereen. I think he'll be a good fit for that offense. Still not a great fantasy option in standard leagues, but good enough at times. And Blount, I think, can be, you know, serviceable. Could be a top 30 type running back, a guy that you use as a flex in standard leagues, and, you know, certainly a guy that can score a few touchdowns every now and then.
Not even mentioning Jonas Gray.
I don't see him as a factor unless everybody's gone.
What about James White?
Same thing.
I think James White, and I think Gray might end up jumping LeGarrette Blount, because while Blount is serviceable, he's not special.
Yeah, but what is Gray outside of one good game?
Well, he can't even get on the field. Maybe he's got a chance to be special after a year in the offseason program and training camp.
I don't think Belichick looks at it like that, though.
What do you think he looks at it like?
I think he looks at it as a guy. He wants a guy he can trust.
Fair enough.
Dave, I think
that's why Stephen Ridley won't be back.
Might have skipped out a little bit there when you were talking about James White. What did you say about him?
I didn't really say. I said that he was third.
Okay. Good. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. Now let's go to email of the day from John in Rochester, New York. What are your thoughts on whether or not Marshawn Lynch...
I mean, go back. Oh, sorry. There you go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What are your thoughts on whether or not Lynch re-signs with Seattle? If he doesn't, where are some places he could go and do well? And are there any teams where you would consider not keeping him if Marshawn Lynch went there?
First of all, I think he's going to stay. I don't think they let him go. I know how we feel about running backs and paying running backs, Jamie especially. But I think Seattle looks at him as a very, very huge part of their locker room and of their kind of like their image. And I bet they keep him. I bet they give him more money than what they owe him. He's entering a contract here. They could save $7 million if they do cut him. I don't think they will. I think they actually give him a couple more years.
So is he going to be a bust next year?
No, I think he's gone. I disagree with you, Dave. I don't think he does come back. I think you look at what they did in the last two drafts with Turbin and with Michael, and I think they're going to try and move on from him because of the money situation and because I think they're smart enough to understand that running backs tend to break down and he's going to start to enter that phase. I was surprised it didn't happen to him this year. I think it's going to start to happen to him eventually. And I don't think that they, because of what they need to do with their passing game, they're going to have to pay Russell Wilson. And I think they're going to have to allocate their money elsewhere. So running back to me is not a situation of need for them. I know how great he is, and believe me, don't take anything away from him. But I think they have some other needs elsewhere that they can use that money for and have quality replacements to get by with him. Where he'll go, I don't know. I'm sure for him, he'd probably like to go to Oakland. He's got his ring. He's got money. He'll probably get a nice contract from them. That's a team that can use a running back. I know Latavius Murray's got everybody excited, and rightfully so. But I wouldn't be surprised if he took a hometown discount to go back to the Raiders.
Let's just say he does leave Seattle, they do cut him. I would think he'd want to play for a contender. I get the Oakland angle, and I know he's extremely proud of being from Oakland. But if he really wanted to play in Oakland, he could have been there by now.
But let me ask you this: are you, obviously it depends on situation and how many carries you think he's going to get? But are you worried about him going into next year, Marshawn Lynch?
If he's in Seattle behind that offensive line, no. You know, he'll still be a guy you have to draft in round two. And somebody that you can pencil in as your, you know, number one running back. It's just a matter of at some point he's going to miss some time. And they're going to start to work on other guys. I mean, this is two long postseason runs. You know, Frank Gore's been able to sustain it, but he's not, you know, young as Lynch. So Lynch is still young enough that he'll be okay. But I do think at some point the wear and tear is going to catch up.
And I think it's going to require drafting one of his backups. If you draft Marshawn Lynch next year, you're just going to have to commit an 8th-round pick, 9th-round pick, 10th-round pick, one of those picks, to get either Kristen Michael or Robert Turbin, just to safeguard yourself.
So then, we'll talk injuries, news, and notes, and briefly on the Cleveland Browns, Johnny Manziel entering rehab, and Josh Gordon facing a year-long suspension for drinking. What do you guys think of this? I didn't mean to make light of it there by laughing. The Browns are such a mess. I know these guys have issues, and I hope everything works out for them, but the Browns are a mess, and what do you make of that situation in Cleveland?
The terrible franchise.
Wow, you're just putting it all on the franchise.
Well, I mean, they can't find a situation that they can, you know, provide a safe environment for their players to, you know, grow. Instead, they're, you know, succumbing to their evils. Granted, it's their own demons, and it's something they have to deal with. And it's a good thing that Johnny Manziel is, you know, able to, you know, face the reality of what his life has become. And Josh Gordon, unfortunately, is probably dealing with the same thing. To me, this franchise is just terrible. I mean, what they did last offseason by not addressing their receiver position. I don't like the offense coordinator hire. They're still a quarterback away, you know, and a long way away. So I don't see them turning the corner at any time soon. I guess it's probably not fair to say they're a terrible franchise, but they're just have.
I think it's pretty fair. I mean, what do you have to do to qualify as a terrible franchise if not be as bad as the Browns have been for the Browns have been?
Their record has been terrible, and obviously their decision making when it comes to first round and second round draft picks, you can quantify as being terrible, given that they spent the pick on Manziel in round one last year. They spent a second round pick on Josh Gordon, in a supplemental draft several years ago, different coaching staffs in place.
Justin Gilbert just had a bad year too, Dave.
He did. He did.
It's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, think about if you had to name who the best rookie was in Cleveland this past season, would it be Isaiah Crowell?
Yes.
And he was undrafted.
Yeah, I'm surprised Ray Farmer still has a job.
Well, it's been only 1 year. Let's give him more draft picks and see what he does in 2015. You know, this is definitely a make or break offseason for Cleveland and the staff that's there. I really like Mike Pettine, by the way. I think he's a tough, hardworking coach who can get a lot out of his players. But if they can't give him good players, they're never going to do anything. They have two first round picks. They've got their own first round pick. They've got Buffalo's first round pick from the Sammy Watkins trade. Let's see what they can do with it. They got to hit some home runs. But, you know, and then let's see what happens with Johnny Manziel. Like, I'm already expecting Josh Gordon to be gone for the year. You can't draft him. I don't think there's going to be any sort of miracle negotiation that brings him back. Maybe Manziel comes back and has his head on straight and he manages to play some decent football.
To re-sign Hoyer at this point.
Yeah, I think they have to bring back Hoyer, too. The only players in Cleveland that I would consider drafting would be Crowell and Terrence West. In that order.
Yeah, Cameron's a free agent. They have to figure out what they're going to do there.
They shouldn't bring him back.
Well, I wouldn't go back if I was him.
That's true.
They could want to bring
you
him
might
back
want to file Kyle to. Shanahan to Atlanta.
That'd be a good spot.
Well, Atlanta, they do have a new head coach. It's Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator for the Seahawks. Did not make the play call at the end of the game, just to clarify.
As far as we know.
Yeah. Also, this whole conspiracy thing about wanting Russell Wilson to get the Super Bowl MVP is just
stupid.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot believe.
You mean that there's conspiracy theories in the NFL?
It's not even a real conspiracy theory. It's just like so stupid. I can't believe somebody actually wrote it in
an
article.
It's people making stuff up.
Yeah.
It doesn't deserve your time, Adam. So
I wanted to criticize the people who actually made time for it. But anyway, what do you think the impact of Dan Quinn to Atlanta is?
Well, for fantasy purposes, I think it'll help the DST because he's
greatly.
I think it's got nowhere to go but up, but he's got a good eye for what he wants out of the scheme, and it's going to be just like Seattle's defense. And then Kyle Shanahan coming in to run the offense should be good for the run game there. Hopefully Steven Jackson isn't a big part of it, if a part of it at all. They should go young there. I would go young there. Devontae Freeman, to me, could be stellar. In Kyle Shanahan's offense. I'd love to see him get that opportunity. And, I think they're going to add a tight end at some point. They're going to add something, whether it's Jordan Cameron, Julius Thomas has been linked there if he gets free from Denver. I think Matt Ryan has a good shot at bouncing right back after another season where things went wrong around him. Obviously, the same issue is still there. The offensive line has to protect Matt Ryan. If that's not done...
Well, he's got to stay healthy.
Well, but that's part of the problem. Is that the offensive line hasn't been healthy and Matt Ryan's had to run for his life. He's still a good quarterback. I'm not giving up on him.
No, he's good.
Yeah, I think so.
Dave, your tears are all over the website, you big baby.
That's me.
We did quarterback tears last week. We'll do tight end tears today. But is this the first podcast that the three of us have done together in 2015?
I believe it is.
Yep.
Or maybe not. Maybe early January before I moved.
Probably.
But since the move, this is it. First time. All right.
How do you like it?
I like it just fine. How do you guys like it?
Like
you're sitting very close together. How's that working out for you?
I thought we weren't going to have to see you anymore. We still have to look at you on Skype.
And I'm coming to visit you in a few weeks. So
yes.
Are you? You're going to come into the office and do a podcast?
You're going to be here for 5 days?
4 or 5.
So we have 4 of your favorite places to take you to lunch.
All right, we got to go to the Isle Buffet.
Uh huh.
We got to. That's a casino buffet for everyone who doesn't know. We got to go to Charm City. Best.
We'll go to your place.
No, not Charm. Georgie's. I want to go to George's Alibi. Best burgers ever.
Look them up on Yelp, everybody.
It's great burgers, man. That's all. So anyway, tight end tiers. Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham and Julius Thomas are in Dave's elite tier. I'm gonna guess that Jamie would have made a elite tier and then a sub elite tier. I don't know, Jamie. I feel like you probably wouldn't have
one elite side of them.
Oh, you're only Gronk is the only one. Huh?
Yeah,
Jimmy Graham.
I wouldn't put Julius Thomas anywhere near these two guys.
Where would you draft Julius Thomas?
In Denver,
if he's still in Denver and if Peyton Manning is still there, sure.
I would draft him in the third round.
Okay, that's still pretty high for all the other tight ends.
He's very good, but he's not Gronk and he's not Graham.
He's not either of those guys.
Nope.
But he's probably clearly better than the Olsen, Bennett, you know, whoever, right?
Olsen,
like, he'd be right in bits. Like, okay. I don't know. Kind of like how I thought of Stafford maybe going into this season. Maybe behind the Rodgers group, but ahead of the
everybody else. Sure. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And I think Gronk, I think everybody's going to look at Gronk as a potential first-round pick.
Gronk's top five pick.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, Jamie.
Listen, I love Rob Gronkowski, and I think he's going to be good again, but I'm not taking him there when I can get Jimmy Graham later.
How much later, though? Like a round later?
You're not getting a round two.
I don't think Jimmy Graham's a top 12 pick.
Depends. Smart fantasy owners will draft him in the first round.
Tight
ends are hard to come by.
Tight ends, you know what? I'm going to let them do that. I can always find something at tight end, and I can find it a lot later.
I think this needs to be pointed out, though, because Gronkowski obviously had a good year. He really did not have a great, great fantasy year. I was kind of surprised. Like, it was nothing like Jimmy Graham last year, in 2013 anyway. So
yeah, but once he got going, though, he was pretty special.
Yeah, but, I mean, he probably scored about 40 to 50 points less than Graham did the year before. I don't know if it was quite that much.
I don't know if there's. I don't know if it's worth comparing him from 2013 Jimmy Graham to what he did in 2014. I mean, he did what he did, and he put up numbers. He was an easy guy to put into your lineup. He was easy to expect good numbers from. He didn't let you down. Total difference maker for your fantasy roster, and that's why people are going to gravitate toward him. They're going to see that if you're in a 10-team league, seven of the owners are going to have question marks at tight end. And that's including Greg Olsen as a question mark, Martellus Bennett as a question mark. It won't be an exclamation point. And that's what Gronk is. And I don't even know if we can call Julius Thomas an exclamation point. I think Graham still is. I think Gronk definitely is. Someone in every league will pay that price. They will spend the first round pick to have Rob Gronkowski at tight end, have that advantage compared to everybody else in the league, not have to worry about finding a tight end off the waiver wire week after week after week. And then they'll probably look for a running back in round two and build their fantasy roster from there.
All right, Dave, so Jamie says he'd take Gronkowski as a top five pick. Where would you take Gronkowski?
It would be more of a top 10 pick for me. I'm looking at him toward the back of the first round where I know I can still get a stud running back falling into my lap in round two.
And as of right now,
PPR league, you might be able to get me to say he's more of a top seven-ish. Like, I'll tell you what, I'll take Antonio Brown ahead of Gronk in any league.
Jamie? the case for Julius Thomas. He didn't have a lot of catches, only 43.
He had a lot of touchdowns.
Didn't have a lot of yards, right, 489, but he did have 12 touchdowns in 13 games, and it was very front-loaded. You know, he got hurt, and then he was bad.
Yep, Peyton was bad, too.
Right, when he was healthy, he was scoring so many touchdowns that he was pretty much elite. Is that a fair statement? When he was healthy, he was elite?
Yeah, the touchdowns made him, you know, special, but it's now 2 years in a row where he can't stay healthy, 2 years in a row where he, you know, let you down the stretch. And the fact that the catches and the yards declined at such a steep rate, you know, with the addition of Emmanuel Sanders and, you know, having a legitimate second option there again for Peyton Manning.
But what changed? It's the same as it was the year before. He just got hurt. He was more hurt this year.
Yeah, but it was the same thing the 2 years ago. He just was a little bit better with his catches and his yards.
Yeah. Same amount of touchdowns.
Great. Huh?
Same amount of touchdowns, yeah.
Yep.
Right. He certainly spread it out a lot more over the course of the season.
So did you guys give a round for him if he were back on the Broncos? Does he feel like a round four guy?
You might be able to talk me into taking him with a late second round pick, but I'm with Jamie. I think he's a very good third round pick.
Third.
And the perfect type of bargain you're looking for if you don't want to spend a first round pick on Gronk and Jimmy Graham doesn't make it back to you in round two.
Second tier for Dave is Greg Olsen, who is the number four tight end in standard leagues. I got some interesting stats on Greg Olsen and Travis Kelce. So it's a two-man tier. Obviously, you're expecting more from Kelce in his third year in the league. Here's something interesting about Olsen. He was killing it, right? He scored double digits 5 times in his first 7 games and only 3 times in his next 9 games. But I looked at the schedule for him, and those last 9 games, again, only 3 times double digits. So he's pretty much a dud. He faced nothing but top 11 DSTs against tight ends. Mm-hmm. And the one defense that he faced that didn't rank in the top 11 was Seattle, which we know got a lot better. I don't know if Wagner played in that game, but was obviously a lot better against tight ends when Wagner got back. They allowed one touchdown going into the Super Bowl after the first 6 weeks of the season, whatever it was. So, yeah, I guess he was playing in that game. Or 8 weeks of the season, excuse me. So, anyway, my point is he faced a brutal schedule and was having his best season. I don't know what you guys make of that. But Olsen and Kelsey are in Dave's second tier.
The thing that stands out to me about Olsen is that his numbers were a product of Carolina not having a good receiving core and, you know, just being that reliable guy, which is what I was banking on with Olsen during the preseason. It's why I liked him. It's why he was on my sleeper list, and he ended up having a fantastic year. I think the catches and the yardage were career highs.
Yeah.
I think the numbers go down, but I still think he'll be good enough. Remember, we're looking for if your tight end gets 7 fantasy points a week, that's great. That's how it is. And if you don't have Gronk, that's what you'll settle for. And I think Olsen has the potential to get you at least 7 per week with gusts up to 10 or 12 points per week.
Jamie.
He'll be all right. So he's a guy that you kind of look at when it's round 7 in your draft and you hate the running backs that are there. You hate the wide receivers. You either have a quarterback already or you want to wait for a quarterback. And Greg Olsen, round 7, round 8, that's where you'll pick him up.
Jamie, do you think Travis Kelce takes another step next year? He finished as the 9th best tight end in standard leagues this year.
Yeah, I think he's the 4th best guy, and if Julius Thomas goes someplace that's not tight end friendly, he's the 3rd best guy, just based on his upside. I think you look at that offense that needs anybody to catch the ball, and he's clearly the best pass catcher as of now for Kansas City. You know, maybe him or Jamaal Charles. But yeah, both these guys have plenty of upside, and I think Olsen in a contract year is even going to make things much more exciting for him too. So I don't think they'll be there in round 7 or round 8.
You think they'll be ahead of that?
Yeah, I think they're around 5 guys.
Man, I love these drafts.
That might mean you're waiting on tight end, though, if those guys are going in round 5. Right, like, are you cool drafting them in round 5?
But if that's what I end up doing, if I end up waiting for a tight end, Adam, then I'm just taking somebody who's got a good week 1 matchup with my 3rd to last pick.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something about Kelce. It's going to blow your mind, if you don't mind here. All right, guys. Rob Gronkowski caught 62.5% of his targets. Jimmy Graham caught 68.5%. Last year, when Graham had his huge year, 2013, he caught 60% of his targets. Would you like to guess what percentage of his targets Travis Kelce caught in 2014?
Hold on. Let me look at your notes.
No, don't look. You never look at my notes. I know I'm
well, no,
in the clear.
Dave has them up since we're on Skype, so I can see it right now.
We're going to get 77%.
He did. Cut 77% of his targets, which I'm guessing.
Here's the thing I like best about Kelce is that what do we know about rookie tight ends? Their first year in the league, typically they tend to put up just limited numbers, right? They don't break out like wide receivers. They hardly ever do. Not even Rob Gronkowski had a major year his first year. Had a bunch of touchdowns, but everything else was just kind of there. Kelce, this was his first year in the NFL. I know he wasn't a rookie, but he tore up his knee as a rookie, didn't play at all in 2013, got out there in 2014. If there's a tight end that's got huge breakout potential in 2015, it's definitely Kelce.
All right, the 3rd tier of tight ends, Dwayne Allen, Martellus Bennett, Antonio Gates, Jason Witten, and Kobe Fleener. Dwayne Allen, Martellus Bennett, Antonio Gates, Jason Witten, and Kobe Fleener. Any thoughts on these guys? When would you want to start taking these guys?
These are the ones you settle for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't put Fleener in this group, but I think all the rest are just kind of okay. You know, with Gates clearly having a great year this season, but can he duplicate it next season as he's getting older? You know, that's the question mark. But I think you look at this group and it's okay. If I don't get one of the top 5 guys, which we both agree on, just a little bit of a different order, this is kind of where this is to me the round 7 to round 12 range of. Okay, I haven't taken a tight end yet, and this is the guy I'm going to have to settle for. Which one do I like the best? Is it Witten, who maybe came on a little bit toward the end of the season? Is it Allen, who's basically just touchdown dependent? You know, Bennett has a lot of potential.
The dude's only good in September.
Well, he was better this year.
Yeah.
And we'll see what the change of offense coordinator and what that does. So there is upside still with these guys. It's just there's not as much upside as anybody else.
Martellus Bennett caught 6 touchdowns last year, 4 of them in the first 4 games of the season. During that stretch, he averaged 7 catches per game and then just over 5 catches per game over the next 12. But he was tied with Jimmy Graham, Martellus Bennett was, for the most red zone targets at the position. Meanwhile, Jason Witten had only 8 red zone targets. That was 23rd at the position. And you kind of go back and look at Jason Witten's career. His touchdowns are like completely random and completely unpredictable. So look at his touchdowns last 8 seasons for Witten. 7, 4, 2, 9, 5, 3, 8, 5. I guess you just never really know what kind of year you're going to get from him with touchdowns. But there were probably some other...
I mean, it sounds like you're going to get 5 or less most years.
Well, he's got an 8, a 7, and a 9 in there. That's 3 out of the 5
those
years.
Those are 3 out of how many?
Three out of 8.
Yeah.
He's better in PPR leagues than he is in
stuff. Right. He's certainly more reliable.
But he wasn't. He only caught 64 balls.
Yeah, this was a down year for him. It was a really bad start. He was the anti-Martellus Bennett, if you want to go that route.
Yeah.
You know, he got off to the slow September, and then really things started to pick up as their running game took over, and they could do more play-action stuff, and, you know, they needed a complement to Dez Bryant once Terrence Williams fell off. So I think that's kind of the guy you should expect. But you have to understand that as he gets another year older, as they want to increase Gavin Escobar's role a little bit, you know, you're going to see inconsistent performances. You just have to understand that.
So before we get to the next group, which is the UGG tier, that's how it was published. Nice
yes.
work, Dave.
I'm happy about that.
Do you guys just kind of feel like this position just doesn't change year after year? It's like there are some elite guys, and then it's just so bunched up toward the back end of the top 12.
Yeah, you got to hope that somebody will emerge. I think Kyle Rudolph still has potential if he can stay healthy. I think he would have had a better year last year. And I think Jordan Cameron in the right spot can, if he stays healthy, can also play well. Larry Donnell's got some, you know, potential. We'll see what happens with Ertz. Dave's done a great job since, you know, Robert Griffin came into the league about Jordan Reed, so I think you can kind of pass on him as long as RG3 is the starter there. But Delanie Walker's played well. You know, it's hard to overlook his, you know, production in that same conversation with some of these other guys. And I think the two young guys that were drafted, I'll say three, but I don't really know what Eric Ebron's going to do as long as Calvin and Golden Tate are there with this offense. But Seferian Jenkins and Jason Morrow are two guys that I'm very intrigued about just to see how they're going to materialize and really develop heading into their second year. And maybe they go back to what we didn't see last year, which is when second-year tight ends typically have the chance to step up and play better. So there are some guys you can look at, but I think the point being is that you know who the guys are that you should probably target. And that's why I don't think you're going to see Olsen and Kelsey there after that round 5 range. Because if you miss on somebody that has upside and has potential or has a little bit of consistency, why do you want to deal with that? You know, so I'll gamble on one of those two if I miss on one of those other three.
Really, though? That's scary to me.
I'm sorry.
That's scary to me. I mean, maybe with Kelsey, but I don't think Olsen has much upside. He just had his best season. He's not young. Dave outlined the reasons why he thinks Olsen had his best season. If they upgrade their passing game, it could definitely take some targets away.
Sure.
I don't know. Just round 5 seems pretty early for a tight end, considering how unreliable the position itself is.
Not only that, but it's also going to depend on what your first 4 picks are like. Did you start with 2 stud receivers? Do you have a quarterback in there? Like, to me, if you don't make tight end, there's going to be fantasy owners who make tight end a priority and those who don't. And the ones who make it a priority, they're going for one of the big 3, and they're going to settle for a tight end if they miss on them. But I don't think they're going to do it until much later on in the draft. I think round 5 and round 6 is, you know, plucking potential starters at other positions.
Not if Kelsey hits.
Well, what do you mean not if he hits?
If he hits to the level that I think he's going to hit at, I'll gladly take.
Well, but what do we need to see from him in order? You're going to hear quotes out of the yin yang of Andy Reid. On Travis Kelsey.
As long as he stays healthy in the preseason and they don't significantly upgrade their receiving core, I'll take him in round 5.
I'm excited about Kelsey. I don't think he's a round 5 guy. Not yet. I don't know what it would take for me to put him up that high.
Any other guys that you think in the UGG tier that could make the jump? Jamie named a lot of guys.
Yeah, Jamie named the rookies. I'm really excited about Austin Seferian Jenkins. I think Dirk Cutter going to Tampa Bay can certainly find a way to use him. He didn't really have a tight end to use last year, but Tony Gonzalez had good numbers in his last year. Cutter was calling the plays there. Mercedes Lewis had a career year under Dirk Cutter. I didn't go back and see how Arizona State's tight ends did under Dirk Cutter, but I do know that they have a bunch of Arizona State tight ends making the National Football League, and Cutter was there and doing his thing. So
that was Todd Heap, right?
I don't know if Heap was there while Cutter was. Cutter still might have been in Montana at that point. I think it was Montana. Who the hell knows? Point is that I think Safarian Jenkins has a lot of robust upside. Might end up being the tight end that I go and grab with a late pick, especially if they've got a nice matchup against a team with, you know, weakish linebackers and safeties in week one. Maybe they're taking on the Saints in week one at home. I mean, listen, if I miss on these brand name tight ends, I know I'm streaming them.
Yeah.
I'm streaming the position until I strike gold with one who I can feel good about starting week after week. So early season schedule will be a huge factor in how these tiers end up shaking out.
Look at Luke Wilson too.
I love that guy. I don't know what Seattle's MO is going to be when it comes to passing. I don't know, Adam.
Are we ready to do emails then?
Sure.
I would love it.
FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Buns from Chicago, Illinois.
I know where that is.
Do you know Buns?
I do.
All right.
Buns and I go way back.
Dear Colin, Robert, and Johnny.
Sounds like quarterbacks to me.
In response to Wednesday's podcast, I think he meant last week's, saying you should draft a quarterback in the first few rounds is crazy. I'm in three very competitive leagues, two 12-team leagues and one 10-team league. I drafted Kaepernick and RG3. So Kaepernick in two and RG3 in the other. Needless to say, I was scraping the bottom of the waiver wire all season long, like McCown and Fitzpatrick. I even started Manziel. And I won all three leagues thanks to this podcast and the fact that I was stacked at other positions. So Buns says...
I don't mind that strategy. And I don't think Jamie will mind it either, where you just wait and wait and wait on a quarterback. And then you draft one, or maybe you draft two, and you play the matchups. And if those guys don't work out, then you go to the waiver wire and you pick up somebody else. And you just, like you might end up doing with tight ends, you're just going to shuffle through them until you find a guy that you're good with
starting. Yeah, but it's so much easier
starting.
To do that with quarterbacks.
It is. It's definitely easier to do it with quarterbacks. And quarterback remains very deep.
Okay, but I think this is a point I wanted to make about quarterbacks. A lot of them, like we were talking about it last week, Dave, a lot of them disappointed, right?
Definitely.
So I think that made it easier to, you know, not be good at quarterback and still win. Like, in a normal year, if you drafted Kaepernick and RG3 and they were busts, well, maybe other teams in your league didn't draft as many busts.
Well,
but there were
so many
busts at the position.
Yeah, but I think what you're going off of, though, is what happened 2 years ago. Do you know how many quarterbacks have thrown for 40 touchdowns in a season?
No.
How many would you think?
Can't be that many.
How many would you
think? I don't know. In a season, 8.
What did you say?
Oh, it's going to be 4,000 yards?
40 touchdowns.
40 touchdowns. Not many. 4.
11. It's happened 11 times that a quarterback has thrown.
Oh, you mean, wait a minute, in NFL history or how many 2 years ago?
NFL history.
Oh, no, I would have said way more than 4. I'm sorry. I misunderstood your question.
I'm sorry. That's the perception I think is most people have, is that because it's a passing league that there's been a lot of 40 touchdown seasons.
Right.
It's only happened 11 times.
Right.
So I think what happened 2 years ago, where we had all those guys put up amazing seasons, led by Peyton with the 55 touchdowns. Last year, I think, is kind of a little bit closer to what most quarterback seasons are.
Even Do you have the win percentage stats by any chance?
No.
Not in front of me, no.
Do you remember where Rodgers and
Luck
rank?
I'll make up percentages, Adam. 29.6%.
No, I don't have it. In front of me, sorry. But
The thing is with them is like it could even be a little bit deceiving because they both kind of stunk in the fantasy playoffs.
Rodgers and Luck, you're saying?
Yeah, but I think, Jamie, you're kind of making an argument for taking elite quarterbacks early, even though you're not really ever making that argument. But if you're saying like it's pretty rare to have a 40-touchdown year and we were spoiled a couple seasons ago, well, then I would say then fine. If you want to gamble on Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers or whoever else you think is in that tier, then do it in the first round or the second round and you're going to have a big advantage over the rest of the league.
Potentially if you have, you know, a 50-touchdown season. But I think if you're getting where most guys and the good guys, you know, where I don't know how many 30 touchdowns, how many quarterbacks threw for 30 or more touchdowns this year. But I think if you're getting somebody that can get you to 30, then you're going to have a competitive advantage, especially if you're getting a guy late, like a Roethlisberger or like 2 years ago with Rivers and Dalton and how those guys were. That gives you such a distinct advantage when you do hit on one of those guys, or you sort of play the ebbs and flows of the position, whereas like you went from this year Rivers and the hot start he got off to, and then maybe transitioned to somebody else. Tannehill was a good one, you know. But I mean, think about where Russell Wilson's been drafted. Think about where Roethlisberger's been drafted. We like Eli Manning, but not a lot of people are going to be excited to draft Eli Manning this year. You're going to look at Cutler. People are going to run away from him, but he'll still be 25-plus touchdowns. You know, I like the news today that is coming out of San Francisco about the 49ers going back to the read option to get Kaepernick running more. He's a guy you're not going to draft to be a starter, but will be a backup and may have some, you know, potentially big weeks. So I think the position is so deep that you can afford to wait and still have a lot of success.
You'd rather also do the whole waiver wire roulette game with quarterbacks and tight ends than you would running backs and wide receivers.
And correct me if I'm wrong. So like 2 years ago, Peyton Manning was probably like a late second round pick.
Yep.
And this year, Andrew Luck was probably around a fifth round pick.
Fourth or fifth.
What you want to do is identify the guys who you don't have to take in the first round that are going to have the potential to perform.
Well, it's going to be this year. It's going to be Ryan. It's going to be Stafford. Those are two guys.
How about Breeze? Could Breeze get in that mix?
No, I still think people are going to look at him as a top three round pick, and rightfully so. I mean, I wouldn't blink if he fell to me in the third round. I mean, that's an easy pick.
All right, next email.
I'm somebody that doesn't take quarterbacks.
Where's Pete from?
Jacksonville.
Pete's from Jacksonville, Florida.
Dear David, Mario, and Jermaine.
David, Mario, Jermaine.
Who wants to be the look it up guy on today's podcast?
Jamie said he'd do it.
Okay. 10-team PPR keeper league. After taking Monte Ball and Toby Gerhardt in my second and third
round.
Oh, I
know what this is. I know exactly what David and Mario and Jermaine are.
What is it?
Super Bowl circus catches.
Oh,
Tyree, Manningham, curse.
Nice good call. After taking Ball and Gerhardt with my second and third round picks, there's no question as to why I finished seventh. Anyway, I can keep a total of three players, but they must play different positions. So, pick three. Tom Brady, Dez Bryant, Golden Tate, Lamar Miller, Dan Heron, Julius Thomas, Kobe Fleener, or Ray Rice.
Definitely the last one.
Definitely Ray Rice, yes.
So we got Brady, Dez, Golden Tate.
I mean, Dez is a no-brainer for sure.
Lamar Miller, Dan Heron, Julius Thomas, Fleener. I just want to read it again. Ray Rice. All right, now you guys can go.
You got to pick two from Brady, Lamar Miller, and Julius Thomas. I would go with, in a PPR league, I think I'd have to go with Miller and Thomas, and then I would redraft a quarterback. 10-team PPR?
10-team league, you're not taking a quarterback.
Yeah, I can wait on a quarterback.
So Miller, Thomas,
unless,
and Dez.
Unless Thomas goes someplace that's just completely unappealing.
Right.
Like where?
Cleveland.
That would be it.
Next up, we've got Bob from?
Bob is from Toronto. We'll go north of the border.
Okay, Bob. He says, hello, Jin, Kenobi, and Skywalker. Who is Jin?
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but isn't it like Qui-Gon Jinn? It's Liam Neeson's character from the original.
Qui-Gon. Star Wars, buddy.
Yeah, I know. It's Star Wars.
Adam doesn't know anything about Star Wars.
But I think you screwed up the emails.
He definitely did.
What do you mean?
Go on. Keep reading.
Oh, you're right. This is Marco from Toronto, Canada, not Bob. Sorry about that. All right, Marco, your question is, 14-team PPR snake draft, no keepers, three receiver league with one defensive player. For my first round pick, if a top wide receiver or Gronk should fall to me, should I pick them over a top tier running back that is guaranteed at least 20 touches a game?
I wouldn't do that. I'd stick with the running back.
Even in PPR?
Even in a deep PPR like this.
It depends where he's picking in the first round, but if it's between Gronk and a questionable running back, I'm taking Gronk.
Gronk or Arian Foster?
Gronk, and it's not even close.
Okay. Gronk or LeSean McCoy?
Gronk, and it's not close.
Matt Forte?
Gronk, and it's not close.
Bishop Sankey?
Sankey, and it's not close.
Okay.
Wait, it's not close between Gronk and Forte in a PPR league?
Not for me.
Dave?
I'll take the running backs.
I'd rather have Gronk and Jeremy Hill than Forte and
Jimmy Graham.
You're not getting Jimmy Graham in round
two. In a 14-team league, if you're picking in the middle.
You think you're getting Jeremy Hill in round two in a 14-team league?
No. In a PPR league? Yeah, you have a better chance of that because the receivers are going to go.
That's true.
You'll get Gronk and a stud receiver for sure. I don't know if Jeremy Hill makes it back. Might get Andre Ellington.
But now it's time for Bob. Sorry, Bob, from Toronto. Dear Michael,
no, he moved, dude. He moved.
Where's he at? Chicago.
Detroit.
Says, dear Michael, Scotty, and Horace, keep two.
Oh, he's definitely not from Detroit.
C.J. Anderson in the 13th, Mike Evans in the 13th, Crowell in the 13th, Andre Ellington in the 11th, and Kelvin Benjamin in the 7th.
Anderson's the absolute must, and I think Ellington's got to be the guy as long as he's healthy. Starting a roster with those, that's nice.
I might go Anderson and Evans just because of the value.
Hey, Dave.
Hey.
Where's Mark from?
Mark is from someplace in the Midwest. Park City, Utah.
Mark asks, we're considering changing up our 10-team league to make it basically a two-quarterback league, make quarterbacks eligible at flex. Would love your thoughts on this and how it would impact an auction draft strategy. 10-team leagues, quarterbacks can be flexes.
Yeah, that's fun. I think that's a fun way to make the league more challenging and certainly to make the quarterback position more valuable. I think if it was a 12-team league, 14-team league, it makes it really hard. But a 10-team league is just big enough where everybody can still get some good quarterbacks and make a move. You'll see quarterbacks go for a lot more than they normally would in an auction if it's a quarterback flex league. And remember, not everybody in the league is going to go and make their quarterback a flex. That'll most certainly be the case if it's heavy PPR. If you do something with your points per catch where it really favors wide receivers and tight ends and even running backs too, why not throw them in? That would give them a nice advantage versus the quarterbacks that typically put up tons of points.
So let's say what the quarterback scoring is.
Well, okay, yeah. Let's say
it's 4 points. It's not going to be as they're not going to be as in demand.
Let's say it's 6, and then let's say it's PPR, and then I ask you, how much are you going to spend out of a $100 budget on your second quarterback, who's theoretically your flex?
Yeah, I'm going to look for a bargain on the second quarterback.
Like a $10 bargain or like a $5 bargain?
Like a $5 bargain because I know that I can start something else there if I have to and then find another quarterback later.
And Jason is our last emailer. Jamie, where's he from?
He's sitting next to you in the building you're in New York.
That's creepy.
That is weird.
He's on your desk.
I'm just going to give him the mic. Yeah, oh, that was weird, Jamie. Anyway, questions
Jason.
About keepers.
I just want to ask a question.
We can keep 2 players for up to 3 years with no penalty, and we can roster them for 4 years total, so the draft year plus 3 keeper years. I have to choose between Gronkowski, Beckham, Luck, and Charles. 6-point passing touchdowns, and I kept Charles and Gronk last year, so I would only have 2 more years with either of them. So what do you think? By the way, it's standard scoring, no PPR. So he's got Gronk, Beckham, Luck, and Charles, pick 2, and he can keep Luck and Beckham for 3 years, Gronk and Charles for 2.
I'm keeping the same 2.
Gronk and Charles?
Yep.
I think so.
The only thing that you would want to do is maybe just to prioritize the longevity of Beckham, and then I would actually throw back Charles.
All right.
Yeah, I like Charles and Gronk. I just think that those are solid staples. Those are first-round picks. And Beckham's a first-round pick, too. But I think Gronk and Charles will go before him.
Well, this was fun.
It was, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? We should have watched the Super Bowl like this on Skype.
I especially like it when you lean in and we get to see like every aspect of your face.
Look at that.
Can you see my...
Somebody groomed between his eyes today.
I knew I was Skyping with my special guys back in Florida. So I had
otherwise, to... Otherwise you'd been coming to the office.
Look at this, though. I need a haircut,
what, your
huh?
hair?
Yeah.
You need a haircut. You need to find a barber up there.
Man,
do they
miss
barbers in the big city?
I think so. Probably like $50.
Oh, you better save. Wait, well, you got what? 2 more weeks?
I can't go another. No, it's 3 more weeks. I can't go another 3 weeks.
Will
no,
you grow
it's
a
two
mustache
more.
And then come to the office with the mustache?
I suppose I could now, couldn't I?
Why don't you get your haircut today, and then you could come in time to see Kelly when you're here.
Look, Jamie, I like our mutual hairdresser, Kelly, but not enough to schedule my haircuts around her and my 1 week when I visit Florida to see like family and friends.
My mom calls it a hairdresser, too.
That 15 minutes out of your day is going to really ruin your trip.
What should I have called it, Dave?
A barber.
I felt like a barber is a male term.
Well, are you a male or a female? Oh. Wait,
not me, her.
I wouldn't call her a barber either.
What would you
I
call her?
A barber.
A hairstylist.
Hairstylist. Well, she does my nails too, so I don't know. All right, that's it for us. Jamie, Dave, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You got it, Adam.
Back next week with another one. I'm Adam Azer. See you later.
Bye.